Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, as we are continuing to go through this wonderful portion of God's Word. For those of you who might be here without a Bible, there is a Bible in the pew right in front of you that you can access very, very easily. We are in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verse 22. We've actually come, folks, to a section of Hebrews that is the strong exhortation section of the book, although we have seen a lot of commands and exhortations in the first 10 chapters. But in the first part of the book, the first 9.5 chapters for the most part, the author was demonstrating how Christ is better or superior in his personhood and in what he has done, in his person and redemptive work. And we have seen, of course, as we have gone through, in chapter 1, he was better than the prophets. The prophets said, "Thus saith the Lord." When Christ was on the earth, he said, "I say unto you." He pointed to no authority higher than himself. He was also greater, better than the angels. We saw how that he was better than Moses and Joshua, the two leaders. Moses led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. Joshua took them into the land. And then, of course, he was greater than Aaron. Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is a king priest. Israel had priests according to the order of Levi and according to the high priesthood order of Aaron. And then Christ was better in so many facets. He functions in the heavenly sanctuary, not the earthly sanctuary. He offered a better sacrifice, namely himself. They offered sacrifices of blood. He offered one sacrifice once. They offered many sacrifices, same sacrifices, over daily and yearly as in the Day of Atonement. Our Lord functions according to the new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. And because of all of that, we saw last week in verse 19 where he says, therefore, this is his conclusion now as we move toward the end of the book in chapter 13. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. That's the position, that's the privilege of you and me as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have boldness, access into the presence of God. Not only the ability to go into the throne room of heaven and stand there, you might say, by prayer, even though we're here on earth, but we have the ability to open our mouths, to tell God what's on our minds and what's on our hearts, our burdens, and to cast our cares upon him, knowing full well that he cares for us. So we have this access. And we have a high priest over the house of God. Now, here are the three exhortations then that are given in verses 22, 23, and 24. And if you take a look there, you'll see that they all begin, "Let us." So the author is exhorting his readers, but he's including himself and those who are associated with him. He's not saying, "You do this." He says, "Let us do this, and let us do it together." Let us draw near, verse 22, verse 23, let us hold fast, and in verse 24, let us consider. So those three exhortations to his readers, to the believers, to the body of Christ, to you and to me in this present day. All right, let's take a look then at verse 22, the first one. He says, "Let us draw near." Let us draw near where? to him. That's what he just said. We have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus in verse 19. We have a high priest over the house of God. Let's draw near to him. To the Father and to the Son who is at his right hand, where we are told in this book, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's praying for you and for me every day. We often say to each other, pray for me. Well, our Lord knows your heart. He knows your concern. He knows what you're praying for. And he's praying for you. Let us draw near with a true heart. Okay, I want you to join in here. What is a true heart? What would you say is the characteristic or the characteristics of a true heart? Let us draw near with a true heart. Anyone?
Sincere.
Sincere. Sincerity. Right.
Dedicated.
Dedicated. All right.
Open.
Open. Transparent.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Clean.
Clean. Very good. No duplicity. No hypocrisy. Right. No partiality. Can you draw near with a true heart if you have offense against your brother or sister in Christ? We read in Scripture, do we not? If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. We must come with a true heart. Let me just take you for a moment over to 1 John. Come on over to 1 John. God desires to have fellowship with us, does he not? And John wrote this epistle under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it says there that what we have seen, we have declared to you in verse 3, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, if we try to draw near to him and we're walking in darkness, and we walk in darkness, what are we walking in, folks? Sin, right. Disobedience. We say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, God wants us to have fellowship. He wants us to draw near with a true heart. And if there is a fault, if there is a sin, as you read there in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not perfect. We are not holiness personified. We are forgiven people who need daily forgiveness in our relationships with one another, and as we approach a holy God. But God wants us to approach. And he's made it possible through the death of his Son 2,000 years ago, and on the basis of daily cleansing through the ministry of the Spirit and the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? Wherewithal shall a young man or woman cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word. And God wants us to come, but he wants us to come with a true heart. Goes on to say, let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. There has to be a conviction, a belief that what God has said is true, and we trust him and we trust his word. I want to just take you to Romans chapter 4 here in this connection. Take your Bibles and turn back with me to Romans chapter 4. And look at, beginning at verse 19, God had told Abraham that he would bless Abraham and Sarah and that they would have a child and that they would have a posterity, a nation, through the promised son who turns out to be Isaac. And according to verse 19, it says, Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He didn't look at himself. Am I able to do this at my age? Is Sarah able to do this at her age? Are we able to do this? He didn't look at himself. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was already about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God. Right, when God speaks, when God promises, when God informs us in his word, we are to take God at his word. Because God is God, and God is truth, and he speaks truth. And he goes on to say, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God at the time, and being fully convinced, that's it, the full assurance, that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. And so the author is telling these readers back here in Hebrews, that's the type of full assurance and conviction of heart and mind that we need as we go into God's presence, to take him at his word. He goes on to say, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, it's so easy here to, once you see water, to see baptism, but the word baptism isn't mentioned. And notice he says, having our hearts sprinkled. Well, you don't get water inside your heart. Now, you might be able to say, well, that water with the body. But I think the analogy has to be consistent. That whatever he's talking about here in the matter of cleansing, it's an inward and outward cleansing. Attitude and act. What we think and what we do. It has to be cleansed. And how is it cleansed? Well, I quoted, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. In Ephesians 5, it talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and that he might cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Folks, this is what cleanses us. As we get into God's word, the Spirit of God takes this word and applies it to our hearts, to our brains, to our thoughts, and into our, basically, our hands and what our hands do, our feet, where we go. God cleanses us by the Spirit of God and through his word. And he says, let us come with our hearts sprinkled. And I think that's the essence of our worship. Appreciate Mike leading us in some of these hymns, these great hymns. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, Jesus said in John 4:24. And we must come in that sincerity, as we've heard, in holiness, as God has set us apart. And what a blessing it is that we can do that. It's possible for every single one in this room. All right, let's go on to the second one. He goes on to say, let us hold fast. What are we supposed to hold fast? Well, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Now, we've seen that before. Let's go on back to chapter 3 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, remember this passage? He says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Yes, that refers to the time when you got saved. Thou shalt confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord. Say it with me. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I think we got it fairly well. Did I get it turned around? I don't know. But anyway, you know that passage in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And that means that Jesus Christ is all that he is. He is the God, the eternal Son, who became man through the virgin conception and birth, lived that sinless, holy life, and then died a death on the cross that satisfied the righteous demands of God for your sin and my sin, was buried and rose again, ascended into heaven, but he said, one day I will come again. One day I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's what he told his own the night before he was crucified. And that is our hope. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He says, let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. There's that word wavering again. Now, this was written about 2,000 years ago. And people were hoping and believed that Christ could come in their lifetime. You read that at the end of the Gospel of John, John 21. Jesus said, if I will that John tarry till I come, Peter, what's that to you? And people said, John is going to be alive on earth the time the Lord returns. He didn't say that, though, did he? He said, if I will that he tarry. It was within the possibility of the divine will. And every generation of believers since then, if they really trusted God's word on that point, has lived with the expectation, the Lord may come in my lifetime. And so we read in Scripture, if we really believe that the Lord could come at any moment, it would change us, make us into holy, godly, Christ-centered people, brothers and sisters in Christ. So he goes on, as he said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And what also gives us that stability, for he who promised is faithful. For he who promised is faithful. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it, Paul said. God is faithful. He says what he means, and he does what he says, right? And we can trust him. So let's hold fast the confession of our faith. Now, let's come on to verse 24 for the third one. Now he says, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, here we can have a little humor. He doesn't say, let us consider one another in order to stir up each other. The old King James Version says provoke, I think. And we're very good as church people, brothers and sisters of Christ, in provoking one another, right? Well, there's a good way to provoke and a bad way to provoke. A good way to stir up and a bad way to stir up. And of course, the good way is what we have here, and that is we need to encourage one another. To encourage one another. to keep going, to keep trusting, keep growing, keep witnessing, keep believing, keep loving, keep glorifying God. He says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I think one of the blessings of this group here, we are, for the most part, a 50-plus group. I said tonight, occasionally we get some who are not quite 50. We're always glad to have them. But Roger just read a list of names. At least three have died this last week, and others are weak. And we have people here who have weaknesses. We all have those saps, right? Senior aches and pains. We have some other people with greater issues who are here. And I talked with Brother Kane back here. I got your name right? Okay. I told him he's an encouragement and a blessing. I asked him again why he's using the walker, and he explained to me. And he's not here every Sunday night, but he's here enough, and he's a blessing. He's an encouragement. He's putting forth the effort that he wants to be here, to be with God's people, to be involved in the Word of God, to have a time to praise God through song, and to worship God through his Word. I think that's a blessing. And many of you are like that. You are a blessing. You say, well, does it matter? Yes, it does matter. Well, can't I just worship God and stay home and be by myself? Well, yes, you can, but there's another area of worship that you can only do when you are with others. And the Bible talks about that. There is a corporate, there is a group, there is a family time of worship and encouragement. And we need one another. We need this time of go around and greet one another, grab a hand, bump fists, give them a hug, whatever, what it is. We need the touch. We need to pray for one another. And that's what it says here. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love, love for him and love for one another, and good works, a ministry to one another, to those outside of our own community here of faith. Let's do that. Now, look at what he says then in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. Now, I've tried to tell you, I do believe that the author wrote this book under the direction of the Spirit of God very, very shortly before the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the Second Temple as part of the famous Jewish-Roman War that got started in 66 AD and then ended in 73 with the fall of Masada. But in 70, that great temple that Herod enlarged and remodeled and beautified, and that Herod compound, which is on top today, you can see it. There are two Muslim mosques there in Jerusalem. But you can see the wall, part of the wall around it, you can see the famous Herodian stone. And some of us have seen that. It goes back at least 2,000 years. Jesus said it's going to fall. The stones were going to be thrown down of the temple itself. And he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. I take it that some of the Jewish believers probably in and around Jerusalem especially, but maybe throughout the land of Israel, were beginning not to go to their little local groups of believers, the local churches that were scattered around, the synagogues of believers that were around. They were stopping to going. And somehow, some of them were wavering and even going back to the old system of sacrifices. And he's been saying, they don't atone for sin. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some. Some were doing it. But exhorting one another, encouraging one another, comforting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, in most of your commentaries, maybe all of them, but in the commentaries that I checked out again, or footnotes in reference Bibles, you'll find that normally they refer that to the coming of the Lord, as much as you see the day of the Lord's coming approaching. And that could very well be, and there's nothing wrong with that position. But my take on that day, as you see the day approaching, I think the approaching day is the day that our Lord talked about, that the people in that generation would see that temple destroyed, that priesthood come to an end. Why even go back and try to be part of a system that is about to be destroyed by the Romans? And they were occupying the land at that time. Why be involved? Cling to Him. Cling to one another. Trust Him. And I'm sure a lot of believers, real genuine believers, Jewish believers, and perhaps some Gentile proselytes that were in Jerusalem and the surrounding area, probably lost their lives in the midst of that Jewish-Roman war. But the point is, don't put your trust in that system, because all that that system was designed to do found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, our high priest, and His atoning work. And nobody can destroy that. Amen? Amen. So, folks, let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us consider. Did you notice that in this passage there are three words that pop up within our Christian faith a lot? In verse 22, you have the word faith. In verse 23, you have the word hope. And in the verse 24, you have the word love. Faith, hope, love. That triple mention of those three words. We should be people that are marked by faith, hope, and love at all times, regardless of what is about to happen. I think one of those songs that we sang, Mike, had something about every joy and trial cometh down from above. I thought about that. Every joy, everybody wants to have joy. Every trial, testing, comes down from where?
Above.
And that is, God gives and God allows joys and trials to come into our experience, right? And regardless, we are to have faith, hope, and love. And we're not to quit on Him, and we are not to quit on each other. We need each other. And may I encourage you, and I think you do that. You're very, very faithful, and you've been a blessing to Gloria and to me as we've been with you a number of years on these Sunday nights. And but because we are, Sunday night worship service here is really a senior adult Bible fellowship that likes to meet, right? So we don't have the young married couples with the kids and all of that type of thing. our numbers will have a tendency maybe to go down a little bit as our dear loved ones pass. May we encourage, if we have any friends to maybe who are brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe they need us. May we can minister to them by inviting them to come in as well, be part of our group. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives to us. Help us to trust you, to walk by faith. No matter what happens in our lives, may we walk by faith, trusting you. We thank you, our Father, that you are a God who's in control of the past, the present, and the future. We thank you that our Savior is even now in your right hand, praying for us. Help us to pray for one another, be an encouragement to one another, to be a blessing to one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.